I know.
Yeah. Was it November last week?
Yeah, I'm still.
Okay, and here's minutes. Does anybody need to see the minutes? I did send them out in advance.
Yeah, read them.
Okay, Ken, you can go ahead and call the meeting.
All right, call our meeting to order. This is the Ocala Municipal Arts Commission meeting for Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. Do we, we need to do attendance?
Yes. Mary Britt?
Present.
Tito?
Here.
Sarah DeSance is not. She'll be off the list after this. Linda Harlow?
Here.
Dr. Burns is not. Jan Larson is not. Miriam Needham?
Here.
Matt Wardell is absent. Kent Weekly?
Present.
Daniel Yerden?
Here.
And Lori Zink is absent. Okay.
Is there an attendance requirement? So many.
It is unexcused. There's a requirement about unexcused. If you're unexcused for, but technically if you call and communicate these things, kind of it's a little vague as to what excused is.
Okay, do we want to talk about the letters in the first portion?
Sure. I didn't make copies of those. Everybody should have read them.
Yeah.
So we are formally acknowledging the resignation letter from Jan Larson, Sarah DeSance, and the letter appointing Cass Reitz. I gave you a verbal, you know, some information about that, that I was expecting these to come in. City Council did approve Victoria Billings to replace Jan Larson. She is the new assistant director for the Appleton Museum of Art, so that should help us with communications. Cass Reitz is replacing Sarah DeSance as FAPO's representative, and Linda Harlow was reappointed for her position, or seat. So all that was done, so we're back to an 11-member board in April. So we shouldn't have quorum issues. and then you all have the minutes.
Okay. Does everybody have the minutes? Anybody want to move to approve the minutes from February?
I move to approve the minutes of February 5th, 2014 as written.
A second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we approve the minutes. I'm going to move on to the grant recipient report.
Yep, I have the grant recipient report from Fine Arts Ocala for everybody to review. It's pretty straightforward. We provided them with $500, and they had 20 volunteers that executed the children's art activities at the Ocala Art Festival, and they connected with approximately 600 youth. I'm just going to close the door.
Do we have anything to approve here or no?
No.
I don't think so. Any discussion?
Yeah, if there's any questions about it, I can get those answered. I would be happy to correspond with Fine Arts for Cal and ask them.
Okay. All right, we want to move on to the grants to be presented.
Mm-hmm. There's one, pass it down. So, Matt Wardell, they had an emergency at the Ocala Symphony Orchestra office, like literally 30 minutes before the meeting was supposed to start. So he said he's comfortable with us reading this and reviewing it without him here. If we have some questions that arise and we need to table it for next meeting, we can. And we could also try to call him from on speakerphone. But we were talking about it before the meeting started and decided that to try to maximize everybody's time, we'd give it a shot and see if we're comfortable in reviewing this. It's the same grant that we've been awarding every year.
Is there a youth initiative program?
Mm-hmm.
I can speak for the school's part in it. It's absolutely a phenomenal program. Very beneficial for the students and the schools who participate. Mm-hmm. Our only problem is scheduling. Mm-hmm. That's because, and I don't know whether they're going to work to try and do something about it, but They try and do two artists each time, and at two different schools. One artist goes to one school, one goes to the other, and it's and they do two programs, and it interferes with lunch at elementary schools because a lot of the schools have lunch starting at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we had a difficult time scheduling a second program.
Okay, so what so the artists are at school and then they kind of flip-flop?
What I understand is like they have two artists that they send out and they want to do two programs mm-hmm. at each of the schools, at the two schools.
I got you.
And it...
Well, plus, I mean, and we just had a program today. For us to get all the classes, we have to have three programs because we can't fit our whole school in the cafeteria. So for legal reasons, we can't fit, you know, we used to do two presentations, but now there's too many kids. So we for us to have everyone see it,
it's has a to scheduling be three. Nightmare yeah. is what it is. And because their time is so limited, you know, they can only send them out, I think, before noon.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
really just the early morning one is about the only one that
works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or half day.
Yeah.
Half day is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it is for...
Mm-hmm.
Is that a possibility that they... Well, there's only so many half days, though.
Well, that's not the problem. The problem is what days the symphony offers us. It's their schedule, it's not ours. And, you know, the days that they offer us, I guess it coincides with when the symphony is in town and mm-hmm. they have the artists to send out. And so mm-hmm. that sometimes causes the problems. Okay. And we had, you know, a lot of schools that wanted the program, but it just wouldn't fit into.
Do they coordinate with you to get it scheduled?
It did go through me this year. This is the first year that it did go through me.
Mm-hmm.
And I communicated with the schools. The APs, the assistant principals, are who makes the decision as to, you know, whether or not they can do the programs. They all, I mean, I had a phenomenal response.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're limited as to how many schools they go to. I can't remember how many. I think it was 16 maybe this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot more schools asking. And so what we did was if they had been last year, we said, okay, let's let another school mm-hmm. have it that, you know, had not participated this past year.
Right.
And then, though, once we got it all scheduled, then some of them had to drop out when they found out that it was scheduled for...
The time.
I mean, the time where they had no place to have the program.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it is, you know, the only place that they have for a large group is the cafeteria. And the cafeteria is being used usually from about 10:30 to...
Before 10. For us, it's before 10:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing ours oftentimes at 8 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
or then coming back at like 1
in the afternoon.
See,
elementary schools start at 7:30?
Wow.
Yeah.
7:45? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, they're serving lunch at 10:30.
So,
but they're still able to get as many as they can visit, can't they? No.
Not the symphony.
No.
This year
so they could have gone to more, but those schools couldn't accommodate it. Okay.
So what works better, them coming early in the morning or like late in the afternoon?
Well, the early mornings, they fill those up.
I see.
But the second performance, you know, in other words, they go to two different schools. If I'm understanding it correctly, they're scheduled correctly. They go to two different schools. And they try to group them geographically, so the artist is not
driving across the
community. Driving across. Okay, so that's one little thing that you have to do, you know, is to get them where they're not driving from one end of the county to the other because of the distance. And then what happens is because they're there for the one performance, they want as many kids as they can get, and right. there's no other space in the school except the cafeteria that would hold a large group like that. Sometimes it'll hold the whole school, sometimes it's only holding, you know, like Jones.
A third. We mm-hmm. have fit a third of our school in our cafeteria.
And so that second performance, yeah. there were only a few schools that could accommodate the second second grouping, the second seating, or whatever you want to call it.
I hear what you're saying. I think we've got two different issues. I think we definitely want to make the recommendation for them to figure out something to accommodate
to
the scheduling.
With the
I was not speaking against it. No, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to hold us back from voting, obviously, yeah. but that's obviously information we need to get to them as well, though, so kind of almost a separate issue.
Yeah, and I can handle that. I don't even know why I got into that.
I think it's valid, though.
Is there any way we could do a central location, like they go to MTI and...
The problem with busing and transportation, there's no money for that.
There's no answer, of course.
No, there aren't. So you just do what you can do. And like I say, it's an absolute phenomenal experience for the kids. And, you know, so if we can't get it to all of them, we get it to the ones that we can.
Yeah. If the weather is good, they could try outside. It would be nice.
Well, I mean, I've put how many kids in the library at Jones, you know, for author visits and all that. You can cram them in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just what, you know.
What's available.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Right.
It's very difficult. So.
I had a couple of questions. Didn't they get a grant last year?
They did.
Because they put their last one was 2012. For 1500.
I have to.
Well, that would have been for this year, 12-13. No, this is.
14. Yeah, I think that is correct. This is the grant for the. That was the grant for last school year, and this is a grant for the school year that we're currently in.
So they applied in October. They applied more than a year in advance.
No, that one was for the 12. The we September of 12 through
12,
13.
13.
And this is the grant for 13 through 14.
So either that one was earlier and this one is later.
This one is later. And you can see on here that they've listed, I think, the schools
yeah,
that they've
already gone to.
That they've already gone to.
Oh, well, that's where I was confused. I was thinking it was stuff that was coming in the future. And they don't ask why. I mean, there's no explanation why they're asking for less money.
I'm assuming that because I did have some conversations with Matt about where we were with our fund balance.
Okay,
and
that's fine. I'm just curious
why.
If they were doing something different than therefore. Mm-hmm. And just as a general comment, I think they do a really good job, and I would definitely vote to fund it. The budget, I think, that's described as far as what we asked for, I think this is all we got, right? So it should say artist fees, travel, royalties... You know, because where they have a dollar amount next to each, when they have a dollar amount next to each one, I don't have any idea what that is. And where is your? I mean, do you have other funding? Because I know the school system pays them something, don't they? Not much, but Mary, don't they give them something?
Should be better itemized.
No,
nothing at all. Because at one point they got some money from the school system.
Yes, I think in the past the school system did give them
like $1,000,
but they quit asking for.
It's kind of odd because they're tallying up like $23,000 worth of expenses. You'd think they would be asking us for that full amount again.
Well, but again, I mean, I think that the application thing says that the average grant's 500, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so occasionally you might see if you can get more, but you don't want to do that all the time. And I think he might just be trying to live within the budget.
I believe so. And last year, I believe they asked for less and we gave more voluntarily.
Oh,
no, we had robotics.
We did, and I think they asked for the $750, and we decided to give more last year. But we had it available,
right?
So,
yeah. But I think it would help budget-wise if they break this out some.
Yeah, they're not going to ask for at least for $98.
Give some idea of maybe where some of the other money comes from to pay for it, because obviously, like you said, it's like $20,000, and it would help. I mean, I said I know the program, but I think it would help other people if somebody came along and wanted to look at these to get some breakdown on 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where is that? If you're sending it, I mean, the kind of grants that I'm looking at sometimes on the state level, if you mail the Young Artist Competition application to 500 kids, you could count 500 kids, even though you got 20 applications.
Right.
So depending on how the person's point of view is that might be reviewing them, you know, you get a city council person that decides, what are we doing with this damn money? I want to see where it's going. That, you know, that can be a better breakdown as far as where, what kids are being served.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now I think that the council is pretty excited about the arts and stuff like that, but you get a...
Well, I don't think we're asking for it.
Now.
We're not asking for it in greater detail than that, though, on the grant recipient report.
It would be the application,
it's just
right?
Yeah.
What you cannot spend your money and.
Well, the budget thing, right, you're asking for more than you got on your application.
Yes, but no, I was talking about the numbers, the total affected. I mean, we're pretty general. We're just asking for the live arts experiences. And they still do have to fill this out.
Right.
They have to tell us the number of artists, the number of teachers, the number of individuals who are experiencing a live art experience, but it's just a total. We're not asking for breakdown for location or...
Well, what I was just suggesting doesn't really specifically address this one, but in general, asking groups when they're doing their narrative or whatever, that if somebody else, I mean, really making your case, if somebody else was looking at this to make the case that the money's being used, you know, how it's being used and...
Well, unless we have some sort of campaign to raise awareness, we're not going to have any money in here. This puts us down to about 750. That's one more grant and we're a zero.
Yeah.
Well, we did have we gave a grant. We are meeting within 30 days of our last time, and we gave the $250 towards the student photography contest. I think when we met before that, it was storytelling and maybe something else. So we have given a couple of grants, and I think there was actually, there's quite a bit of revenue in this past 30-day period.
Is there?
There was. I mean, it was more than $750 in 30 days, so.
If we, not to get too far off topic, but have we looked at getting into Lamar's, like, non-profit cycle with their billboards?
We have not.
We can almost do that small ad.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've got a spot to fit it in periodically, it'd be interesting just to get that message
sure.
out.
Yeah. Do you have a connection?
No, Lori does.
There's a new person, brand new person in town.
Yeah, Lori's got a connection in there.
Yeah, because he's moved up to the Marion Cultural Alliance Board. He just got elected for that. Dan something?
Yeah.
Dan something.
Would you have the time to maybe connect with her? She's just so buried right now, but
yeah.
I know she is trying to talk to that.
I think we throw it out there as an idea right now, but we'll get to it.
We can even address it in April.
Yeah.
And then everybody might have more time. I'll make a note.
So anybody gonna... like to make a motion on this grant for the Ocala Symphony Orchestra?
I move that we award $750.
I second it.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so we have approval for the symphony, for the schools, 2013-14, for the Ocala Symphony Orchestra. The grant has been approved.
Dan Parsons is his name. Lamar Alpine.
Okay.
Oh, is that our...
Well, we did that once, didn't we? Didn't we have a billboard?
Well, the thing now with the digital boards is we can just have, if they have the file, they can
right.
just, whenever they fill it in, even if, you know, it's just...
But, I mean, we've done that before.
We have. It was
quite
a while
ago. Yeah.
And
I've been here. It shows how long I've been here.
I thought I saw correspondence about that, and even maybe an invoice, that it was matched, that we paid, that there were dollars towards it.
I think we did something...
Yeah.
If it's been long enough ago and they weren't doing digital, then they probably paid you to produce the paper.
I think it was
just like $150
paying just to get it made, and
right.
they put it
put
up.
It up.
For, yeah, mm-hmm. and they put it up.
Mm-hmm. Good production.
But
yeah.
now they'll just throw it in when they have space or time.
So this is the first draft of the official RFP for the cultural arts consultants, planning consultants, and. We need to include this in the NEA grant that I'm in the process of writing. And there's some dates that are wrong on this. This It has mentions like that this is going to be pushed out. It says RFP issue date March 7th. Well, that's not happening. She just threw a date in there. we're probably looking at this occurring in late summer, early fall, and I have to connect with the city and really nail down the RFP process. And I just received this today, so I would believe a lot of the information is probably in here. Like the first 8 pages or so are legal, pretty much legalese. And it isn't until the very back of it that you get to the portion
to whatever is important.
To what's really important about this project. Which I did send to you guys in the email. So it's exactly the same as what you read before. And it has, so it's the Exhibit A, Scope of Service. It's the last 3 pages of this really pretty 29-page document. So I was wanting input on this. When it's submitted to as part of the grant, it really doesn't have to be in its final format. If they're going to know it's a draft, but they need to have an example of where we're heading with this project and what the selection criteria is and who is going to serve on the committee. So we have time. I'm not asking you like necessarily to approve this right now, but I would like a little bit of feedback if you have it, and at least I'm asking that you read it very carefully. Between now and when we meet in April. This is going, I can make changes though, you know, within the next 10 days.
Can you just tell us what, I mean,
before it goes in
what way. This is? What are we requesting? I mean, this is what we want to do with the city and we want to get someone on board?
This is to create a community cultural plan.
Okay. And we're asking someone else, or are we just asking the people in Ocala to do this? Are we getting...
It's both.
Okay.
So we're hiring a planning consultant with experience with community cultural arts planning.
Okay.
To come in and work with city staff and the community on developing the plan.
Got it.
And so they're leading it, and they're going to write the plan. There will be revisions, but they're going to give us the final document. And it's generated through... multiple initiatives that happen kind of all at the same time. Public meetings, individual interviews, surveying, and work that like we've already been done, like the visual artist survey. We've already started some of this.
Okay.
This is why we did the organizational data sheets and why we did the visual artist survey. We have a lot of the information where we know, okay, well, we want to pull in this group and meet with them. And so there will be public community meetings, and they'll happen in different neighborhoods. Typically, and it states in here, where did they move it? Project scope. I guess I need to check with them on the deliverables. I know you guys got deliverables. Where did they put deliverables?
For how long is the? Are we asking for the planning?
What
length of time?
It typically, they cut that out of here, I think accidentally. Well, it says...
1 year.
Yeah, they've cut that out. The planning services occur over the period of 1 year.
But it's for a 10-year plan,
and I'm not seeing where...
It's a lot of work in 1 year.
Well, the changes that are going to occur in 10 years is...
Well, planning really well. Focus for 1 year. It'll be good.
Yeah. just no, like one you, thing. I mean, you can do a 5-year plan, but I, in looking at plans, and when you really think of the amount, I've seen people make a lot of mistakes as I've started to research this, and I think the Art Depot project is a perfect example of, oh yeah, we'll pull this together in 90 days, you know, and here we are, like almost 5 months later, you know, and we're just finally got our partners to the table and where we could even think about doing a press release. So I think a lot of times, to me, it appears that people do community planning and they have these goals and they don't always properly in the planning process lay out the pathway to get there and what a reasonable timeline is. And I think we need to, the goal of this is to have an achievable plan that, you know, with funding mechanisms. So when you're looking at that, I don't think 5 years is long enough for us to actually make progress.
Isn't it most of it laid out already in the 2035 and the downtown?
Not with cultural arts.
No, really?
No. There's really very little. It's very vague. And the record,
and that's what we're looking for.
And that's
for,
why that, we're doing that, this, okay. Because it would, and that's, it does give the background information. The deliverables was in the document that I emailed
I got
you.
The,
you brought, and I mean, can yeah. print that out if we want to look at it. But it, we want that the each plan recommendation that's in here, you know, relates to all the planning that the city's already done, that it will be adopted into neighborhood planning. We're doing community neighborhood plans, and there should be public art elements in those neighborhoods. And so this needs to interlay with everything else and with the Vision 2035 plan and the Rec and Parks Master Plan. And right now the Recreation Parks Master Plan says, you guys need to do this. Mm-hmm. There should be art in public spaces.
Is the funding done for the planning to hire the people to create the plan?
No. The request has been put for the budget for fiscal year 2015. I've written a special request, and it is, we're in the middle of the budget process. The budget for fiscal year 2015, which starts in October, and that's what this is going to fall into, won't be approved until September. So it's something we're fighting for right now. And they are aware that we're applying for the NEA grant. And the grant we're actually asking for the $50,000 for the consultant. For when you consider trying to get the best of the best, you know, to come here, and most likely they're going to be traveling, and you have to consider travel expenses. And then I don't just want this. I don't want something on, I want something I can market. And so there's, in the deliverables that I wrote, it says that we want, a PowerPoint,
right.
We want a one-page, you know, strategic image of what we've identified, what the needs are, similar to what, mm-hmm. you know, the county's trying to do with, or the school board's trying to do with their education strategy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some marketing tools in addition to the actual document that City Council will adopt. To get it adopted and approved, we're all going to have to do some legwork. I mean, we're going to have to rally community support. So there's this is a really big deal. And typically, a part-time person, a local coordinator, is hired to work with the planning consultant on executing this process, in addition to existing staff. We don't have that. You're looking at the person. And hopefully I'll have a permanent part-time assistant next year that'll be here, and we're looking for some interns to help as well, but this will be done in-house. So we would be matching the $50,000 with in-kind contributions. Well, they consider it, actually NEA considered it as funding, because it's the funding to pay my time, to pay a professional planner. We have three professional planners in our growth management department, so most likely Pete Lee or one of them, or Mark Bendel, you know, somebody's gonna be working on this process as well the whole way along, and then growth management will be providing additional support. So it's, the city's cost just on labor will exceed the $50,000. when you start to look at the staffing time to execute this. I was told that the Vision 2035 planning, that was 500 man hours.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's really huge.
So it's big. So, and it's very important. We're at a point where unless we, with projects like Brick City Center for the Arts and it being just a little bit in limbo, you know, is Marion Cultural Alliance would like to do more with it, but it's kind of takes more resources than what they want to give as far as their time. It might take away some focus. You know, if they want to make a big move on that, and, you know, what if they decided that they wanted to leave? Or maybe they want to turn it in, you know, head a slightly different direction, but they're looking for more city support. We don't have a single document that shows any sort of buy-in from the community or our council mm-hmm. to support that. If they left, and we staff recommended that we put out a RFP for cultural proposals, that we want it to stay a cultural space, but we're going to do proposals and open up to the community, there's no guarantee that it would stay arts, because anybody from the community could you know, could kind of argue that and say, well, maybe it really should be this. It should be something else.
It should be a pink bail bonds building.
I agree.
So the planning process is kind of our, it's really important.
It's the bare bones of what the future will be.
Right.
It's a roadmap.
Exactly. And we're asking everybody to sign off on it, and mm-hmm. and it's our vision, and it's a big tool on many levels.
Have to have a course,
right?
Once the commission approves it, and you'd have to get some type of consent from the county, then OMAC would be eligible to apply for the state's local arts agency funding, because the big hurdle right now is there isn't any plan. And they're not. That is one of the critical components of being called a local arts agency. You can't just grant out money or do events. There's got to be some long-range plan. So that might then open up a source of some funding, because that's been pretty consistent. The other things that they, when budget years are lean, you know, they get rid of all the bricks and mortar money, and they get rid of the endowment money, and they get rid of, but they keep the operating for organizations and for the LOAs and SSOs.
It'll help with funding in a million ways. If we have a strategic plan for the arts, mm-hmm. and then when we apply for a grant for the art park, or we apply for a grant for Brick City, or, you know, and I mean bigger stuff, or an art incubator program, when we're trying to get on the radar for the art place grants and these big scope brick and mortar components, if we don't have a community cultural arts plan and we don't have some local funding that's dedicated for the arts, they just look at us like, you know,
Come back when you get your act together.
And really, when you look at the background of what the city's done, like I've showed it to you know, a couple personal, you know, individuals privately, when I was drafting this, and just look over this, and they're like, wow, you know, the city's done a lot, and it does look like this is the key thing we're missing. Like, it's really clear, you know, and I think it would help. Obviously, it's going to help the arts community. Just everybody's going to know where we're going, what the vision is, and where they can plug in.
I'm anxious to read the report when it's done.
It'll be interesting. So, please do review if there's comments now, but the draft, and I can resend it out, because what's really important is what I emailed, not so much this legalese. But if there's comments on the scope, Daniel, maybe can I copy that?
I suggest that everybody reads the 2035 and also the downtown master plan.
Right.
And it's online. Both of them are online, and
It's on the city's website?
Yeah. Probably take you a couple hours to do both, but it's really, really good. They've done a lot of work.
And so what would they be listed as?
2035 Vision, 2035, and Downtown Master Development Plan. I had to read them both because I did an RFP not too long ago, and that was I had to know it.
So
I learned a lot.
What we need to vote on today, while that's copying, I need three OMAC representatives that will be on the selection committee for the RFP. And this should happen in the fall, late summer, early fall, and it will be reviewing the proposals that come in and then being on site for the live presentations by whoever, you know, we decide to bring in, and then meeting at least one more time, you know, to score them and go through this process. And it'll take a bit of coordinating and quite a bit of time, because when the presentations are happening, I mean, I think if we get multiple responses, that could be even a day, just that portion, and it might end up having to be 2 days if we can't get everybody here to present on the, you know, at the same time. So Matt had said that he would volunteer to do that, and Jennifer did through email. From the college.
Friends. Yeah. She's good.
And we need to vote, we need to talk about that, vote on it, but I need a third person, and we need bios. Like, I need bios on anybody that's gonna do it by the end of this week, because it needs to be included in the NEA grant. It's very important for them to understand who is selecting the consultant. They wanna know that, one, we got skin in the game, that the city's, you know, contributing all the labor, and who's actually picking the consultant. You know, is it? It's important who's on that committee. So right now, the idea is that there would be 7 committee members, and there would be 2 from Growth Management Department. So Pete Lee, who's a professional planner who executed the Vision 2035 mm-hmm. plan, and he really did. Pretty much the whole thing, you know, like let it. Mm-hmm. And then Janie Pope, and then from Rec and Parks, 2 people. So myself and Terry Moore is the person who was recommended. She's my direct supervisor, and she's...
I'd like to do it, but I don't know.
If you have time.
Anybody else?
Well, I'd have to make time, but unless somebody wants to arm wrestle me for it, then I'll. But I think, considering that, you know, we're looking at a building in the future, this would be good for us too, the knowledge that we get. Plus, I mean, I've got experience looking at consultants' resumes and presentations, and mm-hmm. I've served on several state panels if they're looking for something on your resume.
Right.
Not for this, but state appointed.
Well, it wouldn't be me,
state
appointed
review panels.
Okay. That's where we're at. So it would be 3 OMAC representatives and 4 city representatives. And I feel like we'd have a good, you know, broad base of knowledge, you know, to pick the consultant. So
where's
y'all
it,
talk.
Where is it going to be posted to get to?
Well, they'll post it. No, that's the other part. I'm working next week. All I will be doing, hopefully all the sculpture stuff will be behind me. The event is going to happen, but all my work will be done, and I'll be solely really focused on this grant. We have been in heavy conversations with Craig Dreesden, who is like the guru of cultural arts planning, but I can't talk to him in detail about this because he is hopefully going to apply. But I need to find like 2 other people that are pretty high up on the list and have some conversations, at least saying like, okay, would you even be available to do this? You know, we would be looking at first of the year. This would happen January 1. Most of the work would occur January through late summer, and we'd be rallying the troops and then presenting to City Council probably October, November, you know, if all goes well. And we'd have a steering committee for the planning process of approximately 18 people. Not everyone on OMAC would need to serve on that. It's in talking to Craig and a few other individuals from other communities that have executed this, spoken with Austin, Texas, and Madison, Wisconsin, and like I've been talking to folks. I just can't find other consultants I like. Everyone I like is either retired or gotten sick. So or there's been a problem. Like, I like the end result of the cultural plan, but I find out some big hiccup in the process. So it's a little tricky. And I would love assistance in, if anybody has time over the next 7 days to do some research, and I can feed you some places to call and communities to talk to, because we really do need to find like two other names. The NEA grant, they're going to want to know who we're considering, like for this. And so you put out push
so
out.
Even though you haven't done the RFP, they want to know who you.
They want to know who you're in discussions with, and you can't. You can't say anything about how you're going to. It's got to be just kind of a vague conversation that highlights. I'll show you the portion. Let me pull this off the burner. The part of this.
Melissa, are you expecting that most of the time the applicants will be an individual, though, or a firm?
They're going to be a firm, but they're going to be a specific individual within
that
firm, and they have,
do we need to vote on anything? Because I need to step out.
Yeah, we need to vote on who's going to be, you guys need to vote on who is going to be representatives.
I think Mary sounds well suited.
I have somebody to recommend as a consultant, too.
Okay, good. And then
I'm trying to get it to load. Just
so we have Mary, Jennifer, Tito, and Matt that are.
And how many do you need?
I only need three.
So we gotta eliminate somebody.
Yes.
Well, and like I said, I'm not gonna fight somebody over it, but I'll put my name out there.
That's it. I think you'd be good for it, but too.
You've done it before.
Well, I haven't quite done this, but. But I've ventured into
consultants, one for the city of Fort Lauderdale and another one for DC.
Well, and you were involved with the Journey 35 and all that stuff. I mean, so you've got planning experience where I've got consulting.
Well, I feel like we need to have.
And I think Jennifer's got good codes too.
Yes, and well, is this if we had, it would be nice to have the visual arts side. Represented the performing arts side and the educational side represented. So that's what I'm gonna say.
Time-wise, everybody that you're talking about, this is a what'd you say, January through late summer.
You're not having to commit towards any part of the planning process. You're
right,
just
but you just need to make sure you have some availability in those.
You need to make sure that you have availability, I believe, August, September, October.
This coming August, September, October.
Yeah. Because this is strictly, we will talk about the selection or the steering committee another time. That's a whole other can of worms.
Yes.
So,
okay, Mary and Tito. I think we just like get over there and duel.
Well, guys, one of the things you might want to do is just have a sleep, too, because I don't really care.
Well, maybe you need three and an alternate. I mean, what if someone can't
I mean, can
perform?
You, yeah, can you have, go? I mean, can you have just...
I don't know. My understanding is no.
You can't go? Like, if you're not in, you can't go kind of thing? Not that you wouldn't have any...
Oh, sunshine laws.
I don't know. I've got a... everybody that's on it... Oop, this table's sticky. Has to sign a confidentiality and disclosure agreement.
That you're not doing what?
Planning on your own.
By my signature below, I hereby agree and affirm I understand as a contributor to the Community Cultural Arts Planning Consultant proposal evaluation process, I will have possession of confidential information or knowledge which I will protect from disclosure to any other individuals. I will not use any information from any proposal for my personal benefit, nor share any information from any proposal with any other individual or organization outside of a public meeting. I understand.
You're not going to apply, in other words.
Yeah. Well, we can't say, well, this guy's doing this, you need to do this.
Yes.
It's just ethics.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you can't have like a stand-in.
No, I can't.
I mean, everybody has to sign this, everybody needs to be there for each of the meetings.
But like no one else can go to the meetings.
I will have to ask that question.
Yeah,
because I don't think I have any, you know, resume to do any of this, but I would like to see how it works.
Yeah, right. I don't know, and I'm just not sure.
Okay.
I'll have to ask that question. I would think that they, I mean, my understanding is they're private. that the, it's private presentations to the selection committee, and other people aren't allowed to influence that.
Okay. I mean, and you know, the selection, but just the overall...
Yeah.
I'm new to this whole thing, and it's this... OMAC has taken a huge turn since I started, because
they're actually making us work.
Well, and which is fine. And I'm like, okay, well,
for years we just kind of showed up.
Yes, and we come back in 3 months. Yes, I mean, but
they're wanting us to do planning.
I think it's neat that, you know, there's a vision, and I'd like to be part of that. But I have, like I said,
I'll ask that question, but I believe that
that makes sense.
Closed.
Question. Is what we're discussing right now, whether it's Tito or me, or whether what three of the four you mentioned?
It's the four. Somebody just needs to nominate. I guess we need to just nominate.
But do we? I mean, well, everyone here.
Are we nominating?
And we've got two people that are actually here.
Nominating one.
That's the question.
This is one of those, you know, but I always say what I'm thinking anyway. Anyway, it gets me in trouble. But if we're looking at August, September, and October, is Matt available? That's my question. If they're in the middle of building this thing, is he available? I mean, I think that he's certainly, with all the process that they're going through, would have good information to bring to the table, but I'm not familiar, for myself even, how much of a workload.
Personally, I say Matt should be the one that's not doing it.
Well, but I mean, none of us would benefit personally, so any of us...
Well, thinking of it from a performing arts venue, with them being comparable to theater, I would prefer you to have that position. That's my thought.
Yeah, I agree on that.
But he probably has the most immediate experience, you know, because they're right smack in the middle of it.
And then
I don't know where they are in their process, but it sounds like, you know, from what they're saying, that things are moving forward, which to me would mean that if we're talking August, that they would be in the thick of it.
Can I make a motion?
Mm-hmm.
I make a motion that we select Jennifer, Tito, and Mary to be our three representatives for OMAC.
I second it.
All in favor?
And don't tell Matt I kicked him off.
And Mary kicked Matt out. For the record.
No, because I do think he has, and like I said, they have the most immediate experience with building and consulting and planning and stuff. And
you got enough to cover it, Mary.
Any opposed? Do you have any opposed?
Okay. No, we're good.
It's passed.
And I think Jennifer's experience with the college is really good. And she deals with government entities and, you know.
Well, we have our everything.
Bye-bye.
It turned the lock.
Okay.
And yeah, I've got to get right.
You're going to. Okay, well, you've seen the train station. Yeah. And you've seen the train station. We've got you here. How long do you need to be? Okay, but I need you two to sign this.
Oh, okay.
And I need you to send me... I need you to
do something that makes us sound really amazing.
Yes, and it, but not too long, because I don't know what the...
Do you have a number of words?
I can't remember, and I'm not sure really which part we're going to be putting that in, but I'm thinking like two paragraphs, roughly, like half a page. Give me half a page.
Okay.
Okay, and if you can email that to me by Friday.
Sure. Well,
good selection, though. You know,
I mean, that's the kind of, thing that with applications and stuff that we do. I've got this version, and I've got the Kiwanis version, and I've got the Kiwanis version says I'm a graduate of the University of Florida. Go Gators! And then so I just need to fluff it a little bit more.
Fluff it for this. No, it's an NEA. Thank you. And then you guys just. Please do read through this. I guess.
So what are we? Like I said, I'm feeling really like, okay, what am I looking for?
Okay, you're looking for at the deliverables.
Yes.
Right. You were asking like, what exactly? What are we doing? What are we? Okay,
right.
Well, we're hiring a consultant to lead the project steering committee and city staff through the development of the plan, to draft the actual plan, to work with staff to incorporate any amendments, and to produce and present the final report and findings to OMAC and City Council.
Got it.
So once this is done, it's going to come to OMAC to be approved, and you know, we're going to vote, and then it's going to go to City Council. And along with that, we get more specific with 1, 2, and 3. that we want it in hard copy and electronic formats, that we want a working document that we can amend, because that has been a major problem for other people. They get something they can't amend. And that it will include conceptual renderings and graphics to depict the recommendations.
And that's what the person we hire, that's their job.
That's their job. Because we don't have the resources to do it in-house, and I need one person to take that burden off. I can't coordinate that and go to Tito and say, hey, Tito, I need graphics. Can you put graphics and fluff up this document?
Right.
I need somebody to lead this and...
they've done it before.
Right. And then they're going to, in addition to the plan, they're going to provide marketing and collateral materials for use of city staff and steering committee members in educating the community about the plan so that we can gain public support and acceptance for the plan's adoption. And at a minimum, those materials are a PowerPoint presentation, in a single one-page graphic that communicates the plan's key strategies.
So is each of the...
Because then we can talk. We can go to Rotary. We can, you know, we can go everywhere and see this is what we're doing. And
are
we Yeah, and because we gotta go to city council with an army.
Right.
Because we're gonna want to
say there's three firms that are bidding for this. Are each of them doing the whole thing with the PowerPoint, and then we pick the one that we want, or are we picking the one we want and then they're doing it?
We're picking the one we want, and then they do it.
Okay.
Yes, because they develop this through a very involved process over about 9 months, basically.
They'll do a pitch,
back and forth.
And we'll
They'll show you what they've done in the past. Yeah. Is that what?
Yes.
And what they can do and that kind of thing.
Here's the houses we can build. If you pick us, then we'll work on the house you want us to build.
Right. Okay. And you'll see there's a wide range. To be honest, Craig Dreesden, he can do everything from the three-page document with no graphics to very fluffy stuff. Like Tallahassee has they actually have a really nice one that he worked with them on a while back. So it's all across the gamut. The Madison is like 200 pages. We don't want that.
No.
You know, we need something that is, you need something that has, I feel. Gets to the point and has strategies, but yet is a little bit open-ended because it's a 10-year plan.
Right.
You want to be able to put stuff in. So you can't box it in too much.
Right.
Yeah. And it needs to be achievable. Like, we'll have to see what the funding mechanism that's recommended is. Who knows? Is it a percent for the arts from CAP? You know, based on CIP funds, or is it some other sort of, does it come from some sort of fees or, you know, I don't know. We got to have this.
This is part of it.
We have to have these conversations.
Not even having read the whole document yet, but your description and what they need to deliver is, when you've been talking to the other cities, is this in the range? Because this kind of project sounds to me more like 150,000 than 50.
It can be all across the board, and it depends on what is being provided locally, what kind of support is being provided, and
what they have to work with.
Yeah, and you are right, it can be up to $150,000 or even more. Especially if it if it starts to include cultural asset mapping, that's a whole nother project, and I mean, they get like hundreds of thousands of dollars for that.
Even when you're talking about the graphics and stuff, when they start hiring somebody else to produce,
my kindergartners are doing PowerPoint right now.
I would love to see that. I mean, they have the child's view of the park. Wouldn't that be fun to put on the Facebook page? To let the kindergartners come and do their own little news report of the sculptures. That would be fun.
And honestly, some of the... some documents will use graphics. Like, we already have some good graphics. It's just somebody needs to compile
put it together. There's a lot of stuff done already.
Exactly. And we're really looking for somebody to present it properly. And, you know, they may add a couple images here and there or do one or two drawings that we're missing. But we do have a lot of the materials. I'm not so sure we want to, I don't know that, you know, we're not Austin, Texas, and we're not Madison, Wisconsin, and, you know, we're Ocala, and I don't know that we need a 200-page cultural arts plan. That's not quite what we're looking for. I think we need something that's very obtainable with the size community that we have and the resources that are here and the players that are here.
Well, so, yeah, I don't think many consultants that have done this for Ocala and different, like we just had the one done for downtown, the merchants. Mm-hmm. You can pick a lot of stuff out of that. Mm-hmm. Because they already have told you what your perimeter is, how much, you know, how many people can walk to Tuscarawas Park, you know. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of the stuff done. 2035 has a lot of it done also. Mm-hmm. Downtown Master Plan has a lot of it. So it's a facilitator that brings all this
all
together,
of it together, yeah,
and puts it on a 10-year mm-hmm. plan. Mm-hmm. So it a lot of it is done. It just takes time.
It's just wrapping it up and presenting it in a way that looks, wow, this we could do
and
this
And they've
year.
Done it before. Mm-hmm. You know, also, they're not reinventing the wheel, you know. Yeah, they look at another community's the same size as ours, and they copy it.
Yeah. Is the bidding by invitation only?
No, it's an open RFP.
But there's people that we want to make sure.
Yes, yeah, so I'm not sure if you had asked that or if you did, Tito. Somebody asked, like, how is this going to get put out? It'll just be put out as a public RFP, but we want it to be on certain individuals' radar. So we'll be making phone calls. You know, and the people that we're talking to now that we know, like, okay, well, they would mm-hmm. Are you interested? Yes. Okay, well, we'll let you know when we get our RFP finalized. And then, you know, and they're available January 15, you know, this could be a project that would fit into their timeline. And so then we would tell them when it goes live so that they apply.
These guys that I gave you mm-hmm. really may be more facility planning and fundraising than community.
But they may have a referral.
Right, but you know who
is
else
there
you might
person
talk?
At that place?
Yeah, the guy that's on the Willems, oh, come on, open that up. The guy, Willem, W-I-L-L-E-M, B-R-A-N-S. He's actually been here before. He's been to Ocala.
Okay.
And the other person you might call, whose firm doesn't do it, but he partners with this guy, is the one that did the Marion Theater redo. Can't think of what his name is, I have it. But he tried working with the symphony and touches base with us from time to time to see if we're still doing anything. But they've had some really amazing projects, and he's now gone out on his own. They were connected with a different company when he had worked for like 20 years for the company.
Do you want to send me his name?
I will. Mike Nelson, that's what it is. But I can't think of what the new company's name is. And the new company is like his name and somebody else's name joined together with an ampersand in the middle or something, I don't know. But projects that they've recently done, I mean, I'm aware of them and how successful that they've been, and the people were happy at the end of it. So, but they're more facility than, you know, a cultural plan. So Mike wouldn't do it, but Mike would probably be able to say, okay, within the community, these guys always have a great reputation, and these people I'm always trying to clean up after, and mm-hmm. you know. But his name is Mike Nelson. I don't think I have him in my.
I just jotted the name down, but if you could send me the contact info. Daniel, do you want to? I don't think we called the meet during the meeting. You want to do it?
I have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I make the motion.
All in favor?
Second.
Passed.
Aye. And of course, all of that about me kicking Matt off was on the recording.
Well.